You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Andrea Freyrier.
It touches nicely, too, on another kind of agile myth, which is that we don't do any planning when we're an agile team. But in fact, we do, and we have an ultimate destination that we're trying to get to, but we're just willing to be more flexible in the path that we choose to take to get there.
An early convert to the ways of agile marketing, Andrea Freyrier knows that agile teams do better work in less time with less stress, and she loves nothing more than seeing a team evolve from chaos to high performance. Andrea is the co-founder of Agile Sherpas, where she works to guide marketers along the path toward greater agility. A content marketer by trade, Andrea holds multiple Agile and Scrum certifications. She's a regular international speaker on all things agile marketing, and she's our guest on the On Brand podcast this week. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So I love this connection that you have built, because I feel like in the startup space that many marketers find themselves adjacent to or closely serving in some cases, there's a lot of talk about agile. And when we talk about marketing, and I certainly in another less formal sense have written a book on scrappy marketing, we are all trying to do more with less and less time, less stress, as you say there. Tell me about what agile marketing, the practice that you've built, means.
Yeah, it does mean being able to maximize your time and to really focus on the highest value work, go out and get that work done, and then turn your focus to the next thing without losing sight of that first thing that you completed, right? To return to it and iterate on it if it was effective, or even if it wasn't effective, to try to make it more effective. So there's a lot of focus on agility and speed as somehow equivalent, but there's a really important element of focus and customer centricity and quality that are a big part of agile ways of working. And I think it's important to keep those kind of top of mind as we start thinking about what marketing agility looks like, because it does make us faster and more productive, but it also brings us closer to the customer because we can release work to them faster, get their feedback, and then apply their input into the next round of work that we do.
Well, I think that's a really important definition and mindset too, because I know in selling the idea of scrappiness, I sometimes have to reinforce that scrappy isn't sloppy. And I think a lot of times when we look at streamlining, when we look at the enhancements to process that you're talking about, there's a big concern that you can see on people's faces of, oh, we're going to cut corners. Things aren't going to be as high quality as they were before. So how do you overcome that?
Yeah, one of my favorite agile tools for doing that is a clear, what we call, definition of done. And so we establish, before we begin a piece of work, what does done look like for this activity? And that usually includes adherence to brand standards, for instance, right? We want this to be on voice and on tone and on message. It's not something haphazard or crappy that we're just throwing out there. This is still a deliberate piece of our larger strategy. It's part of our larger branding efforts, but it is still something that we can deliver quickly. So the two aren't mutually exclusive. And if we have that clear definition of done, it keeps us from getting too, as you said, sloppy in our drive to get things out the door more quickly.
Well, I love that. And not just because you managed to, in that very definition and definition of done, mention the name of the podcast and say on brand. I feel like there should be, you've said the secret word. We need a sound effect or something. But I do think that addresses exactly what we're talking about here, in that it's still going to line up with our brand standards. It's going to sound like us. We've just done so in a way that hopefully minimizes some of the effort that went into that as well.
Right, right. And I think it touches nicely too on another kind of agile myth, which is that we don't do any planning when we're an agile team. But in fact, we do, and we have an ultimate destination that we're trying to get to, but we're just willing to be more flexible in the path that we choose to take to get there. And so we do still need to have clearly identified strategies and brand guidelines and a content strategy and editorial calendar, like all of these sort of baseline best practices for doing great marketing work are still in place. But then it's like at the execution level that we start to exercise agility, but we still need those foundational elements in place.
So where do you see marketers struggling? I was trying to think of what I don't know what you would call a non-agile marketer, other than someone that you need to talk to. but where do you see that struggle most often present?
Yeah, so a lot of the folks who are interested in agility, they see the value of it and they want to give it a try. Where they tend to fall down is trying to like copy paste what software does. Right, the sort of off-the-shelf frameworks like Scrum are great in their native environment. They work really well for software development teams. Most of the time, marketers are not going to be able to take things as they were written for software developers and make them work for us. We've got to be more adaptive. So we need to do a little bit broader foundational education. So we don't just understand Scrum and sprints and Scrum Masters and those kind of standard ideas, but we also think about lean waste reduction and flow-based approaches like Kanban. And so we've got a broader buffet of options to choose from. And those are the marketing teams that are the most successful, is when they are thoughtful about their process and think about what aspects of it need the most improvement and what agile ways of working will help me there, instead of just trying to take an existing framework and force it onto their team or their ways of working.
Well, I think that is so key, because I think a lot of times exactly what you said of dropping these things that we see in software development into a marketing team, a marketing organization, and it doesn't quite fit. And it, more importantly, like you said, doesn't accomplish exactly what we needed to with the right flow as well. So where do you start then if someone is presenting with challenges like this? Is there a common, you talked about the you know, we have a destination that they're working towards, but is there a common starting line?
Yeah, absolutely. And really it comes back to some agile values, right, as opposed to a particular framework. So an agile value like transparency and visibility into the work being done. And we can accomplish that through a simple tool like a backlog, which is just, it's a prioritized to-do list, right? It's everything that we as a team or as an individual could be working on at any given time. And we then ruthlessly prioritize it, right? We cannot have two number one priorities, because that's not what priority means. and we then have to make hard decisions, right? If I could only do one thing and nothing else that's going to make the biggest impact and add the most value, that's the thing that goes at the top of my list. And now we've got visibility into everything we could be doing. So we make smart trade-offs about how we're going to spend our time. And then for marketing in particular, this is an amazing tool for our stakeholders and people that bring us work requests, because we can say, great, thank you for this lovely idea. Where does it fall in this prioritized list? And we can have that discussion openly instead of having to just take that on and add it to our already overwhelming workload. And then it just makes everything take longer if we have to say yes to everything right away. But the backlog helps us say, I will work on that when it becomes a top priority, instead of having to take everything on simultaneously.
Well, I love so much of that, especially the idea of ruthlessly prioritizing. And I think most marketers listening know that we have ended up in situations where either by our own doing or by those that we serve, we end up with, like you said, two number ones. And it sounds funny, but it happens more often than many of us would care to admit.
Yeah. And getting people together, right? If you serve multiple stakeholders or multiple business units, for instance, getting them together and having them fight it out together over your backlog, right? And say, you all have to agree. I can only have one top priority and you all have to help me decide what it is. And then we're going to proceed with that agreement in place. So that helps you get a little bit more breathing room as well, if the stakeholders have had an opportunity to have that conversation amongst themselves, because otherwise they all come to you and say, do my thing right now. And you're right back where you started.
Hey, On Brand listeners, Nick Westergaard here. This is usually the point in the show where I mention that I'd love to speak at your next conference or corporate event. However, given current circumstances, most live events are being postponed or they're moving to virtual events. All of my keynotes are available virtually as webinars, including new talks on marketing in times of crisis and on virtual communication itself. As a listener of the On Brand podcast, you know I can keep an online audience engaged. I've also conducted countless global webinars and online education programs. Learn more now at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard with two A's .com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So I want to talk a little bit about an elephant in our respective rooms at this point, the advantages of doing better work and less time, less stress, all of these things in a regular day of the week and the regular world that we used to find ourselves in. Those are great net positives. Those are things that we're all trying to do. I have to think that in the world that we find ourselves in now, where that same team is maybe working remotely and maybe they weren't before, not able to connect with those that they serve, whether that's the clients at a marketing organization, whether that's coworkers internally for another marketing team, what does our current situation in the midst of COVID-19 mean for how we navigate this and why we need some maybe heightened agility?
Yeah, I joke with my team at Agile Sherpas that we don't ever have to make the case for agility ever again, that everyone has painfully experienced the need for it. And It answers so many of the challenges that we're experiencing right now. The visibility one, right, which I mentioned, if you have a digital backlog and there are tons of tools, Trello springs immediately to mind as a straightforward one that you can use that everyone can see. It's easy to onboard people to, and it forces you to prioritize as well, because the cards only are one by one in the list. So it's a nice forced prioritization mechanism there. But it helps people, the team, see what's going on, helps you collaborate better, and it helps your external stakeholders, whomever they might be, see it also. And then the communication piece, it gets answered with agile practices like a daily stand-up meeting. We might not all be standing up around a whiteboard like we once were, but the same principles apply, where we can get the team together virtually on video every morning for a few minutes to talk about what's going on. And in the rapidly changing world that we're in, that kind of short feedback loop is crucial. And the teams that I coach that were already agile before this happened, it's been spectacular to watch them respond in a way that's much more measured and meaningful and not so reactive and frantic as other, you know, folks have had to scramble to respond. These agile teams have their backlog, they have their visualized work. And so they could say, all right, this right here can be put on hold. This is a non-negotiable that we have to continue. And we can still ladder up our activities to larger quarterly goals. And so they've been able to be much better responders to the crisis than people who didn't have that system in place already.
Well, I have to forgive my chuckle about not having to make the case ever again, because I mean, I talk about a mindset for the moment, and it's essential to stay connected and to continue to level up the work that we're doing, because I think that's what people are searching for too. We talked about agile isn't cutting corners, isn't being sloppy. And I think that you could replace that also with where we're at right now. And we don't want to cut corners. We don't want to create less effective marketing that doesn't speak in an on-brand voice or anything like you're saying before, but we have to have tools and systems in place if we want to be able to do that.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't happen by accident. You know, you don't just stumble into this ability to react in a meaningful way. You really have to be process focused, and it can seem hard to do when we have so many things coming at us and so many issues and fires that we need to jump on. But the nice thing about improving your process is that everything then that goes through that system from now until forever is going to be better. Right? And everything benefits from that effort that you put into process improvement. So it's definitely worth it. Like the ROI on that time investment is very strong.
So say you're a marketing team that had not thought about agility prior to the month of March in these heightened circumstances, and are now struggling to not only adapt but to close up some of the gaps. Is there, if someone is trying to be more process focused and hadn't been before, where would someone like that start, an organization like that?
Yeah, it starts really with that backlog that I was describing, getting a really clear perspective on everything you could be doing so that when you make the call about what you're actually going to do, it's very informed. And then the step beyond that is to then visualize what's in progress, right? To build kind of a workflow or a Kanban board. And it can start as simple as to do, which is all the stuff you want to do. That's your prioritized backlog. Things that are in progress and things that are done. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that at the beginning. But then what you're going to realize is that your in progress column may get excessive, right? It may get overflowing with things. And then it becomes time to think about, how can I ratchet that down? How can I work on fewer things and get them done faster so I can cycle through my backlog more quickly? And this is quite counterintuitive, because we've been trained for a long time to value busyness and to value multitasking. But in fact, the fewer things we do at any given moment, the less time each of those things take. And so that visualized workflow helps us realize how we're splitting our attention, and then to narrow the focus so that we can do less, get it done, and move on to the next thing. So the backlog, the visualized workflow, and then focusing your effort on high value work, those are super easy wins that you can have. And then if you pair that with like a daily stand-up type meeting, you get this increased metabolism, this huge jump in visibility, and that gets you a long way really quickly. We also have an 80-minute introductory training course that we opened up for free for people in the midst of all this pandemic stuff. So I'll provide the link for that if people want a more kind of detailed walkthrough of ways to get started.
That's awesome. You know, what I think is so great about, you know, that kind of daunting question that I asked you of, say you hadn't done much of anything, and in this world, we have to be a lot better than we were. I think that's one of the great things about the Agile approach is that a lot of times exercises in strategy and process can feel like they are, okay, now we got to pull the car over into the slow lane and do a lot of work. But everything that you just described is moving the pieces further down the road. So you are making progress. You are accomplishing things. You're experiencing those leaps that you're talking about. You're just organizing the work along the way. I often joke sometimes when we're up against it with a client, you know, I'm sure we've all used the phrase that we're building the plane while we're going down the runway, which doesn't invite a whole lot of confidence. But with a process like this, it seems like that's something close to what you might be able to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can, you know, we like to say be agile about going agile, right? Start from a...
I know what you mean, but you shouldn't be able to say that kind of thing.
Right, to be able to start from small, early wins, and then to be ready to grow it, right? You're going to get more benefit the more agile practices you start to incorporate. And then you get into, right, is our team set up the right way? Is our department communicating the right way once we have multiple agile teams? And so the benefits can keep spiraling outward from the early days of just visualize, focus, get stuff done moments. And that's the great thing about agile is it's got a lot to offer from an individual perspective, from a team perspective, from an organizational perspective. And so when the space and the time opens up to grow your agile processes, it's going to be there, right, to help be even more impactful once some semblance of normalcy returns.
Yeah. So before we segue to the brand that has made you smile, I have to note that one thing that made me smile is the title of your book, Death of a Marketer. And tell us a bit about that and why it shouldn't scare us, this impending death of a marketer.
Well, I will say, spoiler alert, the book ends well. You know, the gist of it, though, is talking about how did we get where we are. It came out a couple of years ago now, so it's definitely pre-COVID-19, but thinking about how marketing arrived at the place where we are in terms of broken processes, degraded audience trust in brands overall, from the perspective of kind of the advertising moments of previous decades and centuries, and what that means for modern marketers and how we need to adjust our processes. My belief is that it's a mandate for agility. And how do we do that? How do we answer the moment we're in with different ways of working? And so the book talks about that. And I'm a content marketer myself by trade. And so I've felt like I was going to die, right? It's some days of work is just overwhelming and there's too much going on. And so that plus the play on Death of a Salesman was sort of the place where the title came from.
I love it. That is great. Well, as alluded to, Andrea, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
So I would say it's Miro, M-I-R-O, if you're not familiar. They are doing really cool things right now, supporting a lot of folks like myself that are transitioning to full-time virtual training. At Agile Sherpas, we do a lot of training of clients and teaching, and that tool has been great in the way they're supporting folks like myself. They had an awesome webinar this week that I was on, and their people delivering it were just clever and fun. And I smiled multiple times during that webinar. They're doing a really good job of helping their customers in really kind of intense times.
Well, that seems like a perfect combination of one helping, but also being able to pair that with being clever and fun. So definitely a smile-worthy impact. Andrea, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
So I have an unusual last name, so it's quite easy to find me. AndreaFryrear.com will take you most places that you might need to go. And I'm Andrea Fryrear on Twitter. AgileSherpas.com is my training organization. We have tons of free resources there. Quick Start Guide to Agile Marketing, and as well as article after article that you can just access totally free. So if you're interested in some of these things that I've been talking about, like daily stand-ups and backlogs, we've got very detailed walkthroughs of how to use those. So you can go and make your process better, like right now.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Andrea, thanks for being on brand with us.
Loved it. Thanks so much for having me.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, also with a unique last name, pretty easy to find myself, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.